I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Opening Wednesday, the 15th of May, 2013, at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage at Granville and 12th, is the Arts Club's latest production, Dream Girls, loosely based on the rise to fame and backstage drama surrounding the Supremes. The 1980s musical, inspired by 1960s Motown music, has taken on a new life, what with the 2006 film. The score was written by Henry Krieger and Tom Ian. Joining me now is the actress and singer, Karen Holness. She plays Dina Jones. I'll ask her about the role, the show, and more. With this role, this marks Ms. Holness's return to the musical theater. She appeared in a touring company of Rent, as well as productions of Crazy for You and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. She also appeared in the movie adaptation of Chicago. She's one of the stars of the television series Cashing In, which will shortly commence filming its fourth season. You can see that on APTN. Visit KarenHolness.com for more and ArtsClub.com for tickets and information. The show runs until the 7th of July. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Karen Holness. Ms. Holness, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So I understand you're in rehearsals right now for the show?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a big company, isn't it?
The cast members, 17 to be exact.
Yeah, that's usually a lot for an arts club production, isn't it?
It is, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so does that for you? Does that involve, like, lots of costume changes and the sort as well?
Oh, my goodness, yes. These are the the most beautiful costumes I've ever encountered. Yeah, absolutely. Sheila White is the costume designer, and she's just done an incredible job. I feel so fortunate.
Yeah. Is it a physically demanding role other than, say, the costume changes?
Exactly. Costume changes. Yeah, absolutely it is. There are a lot of musical numbers that, as you said, emulate the Motown era. And, yeah, so we do a lot of singing, a lot of dancing. It's quite a challenge. And I guess one of the biggest challenges is that we are putting this production up in approximately 3 weeks.
Oh,
larger productions like this usually get a little bit more time, so it's everyone's really on their toes and trying to get as much, you know, rehearsal time, even when we're not being called to rehearse with the creative team. We even, you know, rehearse on the side whenever we have a free moment, because it is such a short time.
Yeah. Now, this show, I mean, you must be familiar with the musical, obviously. I mean, it's been around for 30 years and so on. And then, of course, this film that came out a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the music, and as a performer, as a singer, as an actress, is it difficult to sing this material?
Well, definitely there's material that's more challenging than others. And I guess it would depend on each individual performer. For me personally, some things are harder to sing. I mean, there's a couple very popular numbers from this musical that my character Dina sings, as well as the Effie character. They're the biggest, you know, sort of ballads I think in musical theater, which are I am Changing and I Am Telling You is the other one.
Uh-huh.
My songs are Dream Girls and One Night Only that were made popular by this musical. I've been listening to this musical for a very long time. It is one of my favorites, if not my favorite. It is of the musical theater CDs that I would have, you know, this is the one that I would play just because I love the music.
Yeah. And it has taken a new life, what with this movie, hasn't it?
You're right, and I think this is the 25th anniversary.
I see.
Of the musical. It's definitely an anniversary. I might be off by a couple years, but anyway.
Yeah.
So you know, they did in concert revival of it a few years back. I think it's definitely a classic, one that's never going to go away.
And in terms of your performance and the notes that you get, say, from your director, do they explicitly tell you that you have to channel Diana Ross?
Not necessarily. I've never had that note specifically said to me. I think it's kind of a given, but at the same time, I think any great director will say, please make this part your own, but it does have to be within the parameters of this certain character, and we are all here to tell a story, and so in order to tell the story as it is meant to be told, this is what your part of the story is. So no, I haven't got directly Diana Ross, but I think that it gets channeled through me from time to time, yeah.
Yeah, and then and I guess, unfortunately, because of the movie, people expect to see Beyoncé, right?
Well, it's funny because I have run into a few people, and I thought that their experience of Dreamgirls would be from the movie, and I've had some people who have been fans of Dreamgirls from the original cast, which opened in 1981. So I think that it might be a mixed crowd. Uh-huh. You know, maybe some that their only experience was from the movie, and maybe some that have been following the musical for a much lot longer.
You have members of your family that are in show business as well, singers and the sort. Did you all grow up wanting to go into this business?
Funny you should ask. I think so. I think you're speaking of my sister, Deborah Cox, uh-huh. And I have another sister, Nicole Holness, who's a DJ on MTV Live. Uh-huh. But Deborah and I were maybe on our own a little bit shy, but as soon as he got us together, we would find a piece of music, we would learn the parts, we'd put some choreography together, and we'd run downstairs to mom and dad going, "We have a show, we have a show, we have a show." And they were wonderfully encouraging. Mom would stop doing the dishes or cooking, whatever she was doing, and Dad would put down the remote, and they'd sit together and watch us put on our little show, and this happened for years. So it was, I think we were meant to do this. You know, we were always lit up whenever we had a show, we had a show, we had a show.
Yeah. Where did you guys grow up? In Canada?
Absolutely, yes, in Toronto.
Okay, I see, and then you live here now, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Cashing In, I mentioned that. I mean, yes. That's doing quite well, isn't it?
Yes, it is doing quite well on APTN. Yeah.
And do you shoot that where, in Toronto?
No, we shoot in Winnipeg.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the storyline, too, is I play the vice president of a chain of casinos on a fictional Aboriginal reserve, who is, at the beginning of the series, is supposed to be getting a promotion to go manage the Vegas casino, and then the boss turns around, who is played by Eric Schwig, turns around and says, "Oh, no, we're having a problem with the Winnipeg casino, so you're going there instead." And she's like, "What, what?"
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they're into the fish-out-of-water story, so, you know, it's people are not used to going on the sort of Bay Street speed of Toronto in the Winnipeg casino, so... You know, I'm trying to whip these people into shape, and it's quite funny.
Yeah.
It's meant to be like a fun series with some dramatic moments.
Now, you mentioned that there are 17 members in this cast, in this company.
That's right.
Are these a mix of local actors as well as, say, actors from elsewhere?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There are some locals and some from out of town.
Has the experience been fun working at the Arts Club with this company?
Yes, very much. Wow, I am so impressed with the Arts Club for putting this cast together. My first day, I was quite blown away with what I was hearing from, you know, the talent in the room and how suited everybody was to the characters they were playing. You know, wow, yeah, that's all I can say is I'm very, very blown away and impressed by this company and great people, too.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, for people that don't know much about the show, as I said in the introduction, it's loosely based on the Supremes. Where does the show, say, divert from the history of the Supremes and what happened in Motown to what the show actually is?
You know, I did go to Wikipedia and I sort of chronicle the Dreamgirls, the Supremes.
Yeah.
And the parallels are quite the same as the show. there are sort of landmark events that happen throughout the show. Like, for example, that one character is, the Effie character, I don't want to give it too much away, actually.
Yeah, well, let's not then. But in terms of what happens in the show, these sorts of things happened in Motown in the 60s, right?
Yeah, the events are pretty exact.
Yeah.
I'll say that, yeah.
And in terms of because it is a musical theater score, it is inspired by Motown music.
Yes.
So it is very much an American sort of sound, isn't it? And you can sort of, I mean, remember when George Jones died a couple weeks ago, everyone was saying, you know, that he sort of defined a part of country music, part of American music, Motown. And in the case of Dreamgirls Musical Theater, it's also defined sort of another part of American music, hasn't it?
Wait, I'm sorry, the last part of that question was?
Motown and Dreamgirls, the sort of Motown music that's in Dreamgirls, it sort of defines American music, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Motown music is a big part, you know. They came up with a new sound. There are a lot of documentaries out there about Motown and how it came to be and all the members that were in it and the different music. And I heard that, you know, what happened was they had gone to Florida and got a lot of jazz musicians, brought them to Detroit, and most of those Motown songs have the same musicians playing on the records.
Yeah.
You know, they created this new sound of Motown.
Yeah. And your experience, I mean, you're also, you sing jazz regularly. It must be great for you to have sort of all these worlds come together. You get the Motown, you get sort of the jazz, and then you have the acting part, right?
It's really wonderful. Yeah. Like I said, I've been listening to this album, the original cast album, since high school, and I remember the first time hearing it, just, I couldn't even believe what I was hearing, because I was used to Motown, but then, you know, Dreamgirls takes it to another level where there are moments of really belting stuff out. There are the smooth sounds of Motown and some jazzy sounds, but then there's also, you know, the big, powerful ballads and numbers, and our wonderful actress Ariana, she does a great job with Effie, Ariana Angelique. Yeah. So
have you tried that song yourself?
Yeah, I have for sure. That's one I worked on. It was in my repertoire since I was a kid. I Am Changing.
Yeah. And so, but that song, And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going, physically, I mean, that must be tough on the vocal cords and everything else, is it?
Very.
Yeah.
Very, very tough. I don't know that there's a lot of people who can perform that kind of number the way it's supposed to be performed well. And like I said, Ariana does an incredible job of it. And you really do need to have your technique if you're going to be able to sing that kind of number 8 shows a week, which is our schedule in musical theater. So she's a very committed actor and singer, and I think we all are. You know, there's also star Deming, who plays Laurel as one of the other dream girls, and Crystal Belliant, who plays Michelle, the fourth dream girl.
Uh-huh.
So, we're all pretty committed and know that this is an incredible opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so we're trying to make the best of it.
It's been a pleasure talking to you today, Karen. Break a leg, as they say.
Thank you. Tonight marks our first preview, our first performance in front of an audience, so I think that we're all buzzing with anticipation and excitement.
Terrific. Thanks for joining us, Karen. Dreamgirls opens the 15th of May, 2013, and runs into July. Visit artsclub.com for tickets and information. And, of course, cashing in is on APTN. Karen Holness on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.